Welcome to the A to Z of Sex with me, Dr. Lori Beth. I'm an intimacy coach and psychologist. I created this show to explore the erotic alphabet, to help you learn more about desire and expressing your desires, discover ways to spice up your relationship and create that sizzling relationship you've always wanted. I do this through solid science, real life stories, and interviews with an exciting variety of sexperts. Listen in weekly as I share key strategies to help you create your ideal sexual life. Make sure you join us to access even more sexual strategies on my blog, A to Z of Sex. Access our monthly newsletter with subscriber-only offers at www.atozofsex.com. That's A-T-O-Z-O-F-S-E-X.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the A to Z of Sex. I'm Dr. Lori Beth, and I am your host. We are working our way through the erotic alphabet one letter at a time. Just a reminder, this podcast deals with adult content. So if you don't have total privacy, you might want to put on your headphones. Today, the letter is S, and S is for sexological bodywork. Céline René is an holistic sexologist and certified sexological body worker. Céline offers a unique body-based methodology to crack open her clients through pleasure. I love that line. She brings a ridiculous amount of joy and laughter in everything she does and wants every man to step into his power with strength and sensitivity and every woman to experience the sex she deserves and craves. She teaches both men and women how to unleash their sexual potential, bring out the best in each other, and have mind-blowing sex for hours. Welcome to the show.
Yoo-hoo!
So, first question, because I don't know how many listeners know, what is sexological bodywork?
I know, it is a mouthful. when I pronounce it, like people are like, what the heck is that? So one of the simplest definition that I have come up with for people to understand it, it's kind of like, it stands as at the crossroad of sex therapy and erotic massages. Because really what we do is that we work as somatic sex educators. We work on the body and we have a plethora of practices and techniques that we do, from simple like coaching, breathing practices to help you be in your body, in your pleasure, to like hands-on guidance where you get to really, I like to say, like unlock your owner's manual for your own body. So that's a work that encompasses so much, from touch to coaching and all around sexuality, and really finding, you know, what it means to be a sexual being. What does it mean for you and in your body?
So somebody I interviewed on another subject mentioned that she'd had a yoni massage, and that's something that would fall under that rubric. Somebody who's a sexological body worker might give a yoni massage.
Totally.
As part of what they're doing.
Totally. So yeah, cock massage, pussy massage, yoni massage, lingam massage. I mean, well, however you want to name it, but full on genital touch is also part of the work that we are trained to do.
And I know myself that you guys do a lot of work with people who have been traumatized, and that sexological body work can be a really essential piece in part of the recovery from sexual trauma for some people.
Yeah, so it's very interesting because it is one angle when it comes to being a sexological body worker, coming from the place of like helping people heal trauma, move beyond that. Because really what happens is that every time we have traumas or negative things, it stays locked into our bodies, into the cell memories. And so working on the body level, working on the cell level is what really helps you to remove those traumas and go past it. But I think also it depends on the individual, because everybody kind of has their areas of expertise. So I don't specifically advertise myself or put myself out there as somebody who specializes in trauma. But I do have clients who come from that angle. For me, what I really love to specialize in is kind of like helping either men and women that are bored or frustrated with their sex life to really have the sex they want. And so either it's like your body's not working you want like the way you want it. If you're a man and you don't have the erections that you want or the control over your ejaculation, if you're a woman and you don't have orgasms or not often having orgasms or you experience pain during intercourse or you don't really know your body, these are kind of more of the people that I love to work with.
So talk to me a bit about, I've been dealing with a lot of women around menopause. We've been talking about menopause a lot recently. And one of the things that doesn't get advertised about menopause is that you can suddenly start to have painful sex. And it isn't necessarily because of a dry vagina. That actually painful sex can have to do with membrane thinning and things like that. And that sounds interesting that that's something that you would actually address in sexological bodywork, is that kind of pain. And so where does that fit in terms of sorting that sort of thing out?
Yeah, so, you know, like obviously with menopause, there's a lot of changes in the body and it doesn't happen in one day. So if women had cycles that, you know, throughout their life, they were the type of women that either, you know, took a pill and didn't listen to their bodies and or had a lot of really difficult like menstrual cramping, like every time they had their bleeding time, it was awful. They tend to experience a menopause that also kind of is very similar to how they were bleeding. And in many traditions, I've studied a lot something called Taoism. So I studied with somebody called Montak Chia.
I love Montak Chia stuff.
Oh, good. So that's kind of where I come from. A lot of the things that I share, even though I am trained as a sexological body worker, I started with Taoism. And if you look at ancient culture, menopause did not even exist. In Japan, it's a word that didn't exist. It's something that's more recent. So I'm not saying that it's not real. It absolutely is real. But one of the things that I have noticed is that it has a lot to do with our lifestyle, with how we eat. And another theory of mine that I'm kind of like developing too is that we women might have had decades or more than decades of sex that wasn't fulfilling. And all of that kind of gets stuck in the body. And there comes time when you menopause, you're no longer willing to compromise. It's kind of like, you know, you're becoming this wise woman, the crown. And it's like, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. And it's time to kind of redefine, hey, do I want to do sex? Because maybe you don't want to just have sex that's like penetration and right away, because that could be painful, because maybe you needed more time to have the lubrication happening in the body. So it's about redefining and seeing, hey, what is sex? What is sex for me? What do I need? So if you come to me from that angle of the menopause, we'll look at that. If you have a partner being like, hey, how can you teach your partner how you want to be touched so that you can actually feel turned on again? How can you like discover what feels good for your body and teach your partner?
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, we don't spend a lot of time on that, do we? Certainly in Western culture, it's not, people don't spend a lot of time figuring out what they even desire. So it's not surprising to me that that a woman might wake up at that point, having actually suppressed lots of stuff that they just really didn't enjoy in the first place. I think it's really interesting that you mentioned Montak Chia, because I was at a workshop that had nothing to do with any of this, and was talking with somebody who lives right near the center in Thailand, mm-hmm. who, when he saw what I did for a living, suggested that I might want to go be a visiting educator there. And when he showed me the center, I got really excited, because I found Montak Chia in, I think, 1986, so it's a long time, and it's not a name I hear very often anymore. So can you describe, as because part of what we're talking about, a bit about what Montak Chia teaches?
So it's fascinating. Like what he has brought to us in terms of what he calls inner alchemy and understanding the energy in your body and using that energy to like have more vitality and transform it to have just like to feel better about yourself. It's like it's a huge piece. And so I actually spent 6 weeks in Tao Garden to do a part of the certification. And so if you have a chance to go, Lori Beth, do go. And anybody who's listening, just even as a guest, because it's beautiful. It's so amazing. Like you're taking a vacation from the world and you totally get to recenter yourself. When it comes to the practices, like it's like some things that are very interesting because it's about teaching you how to have a relationship with your body. And not just your sex centers, you know, there's all these practices, for example, that are related to your inner organs. So how each organs carries an emotion and how to like transmute that energy. So like, let's say anger, which is a very common emotion that is all held into the liver. And so what the other opposite emotion, which is kindness. So developing this, like transmuting the anger into kindness. So you're learning to do all of these practices in terms of turning jealousy into love, anger into kindness and all of these things. And there's all these different other practices that are about connecting to things that you can't even see, to energy of the North Star, to the elements that are surrounding us. And so it's like, how can you, it's really a way of life. How can you be so connected to yourself that your body also is a gateway for you to connect to all of the elements and everything that is around you? And it's a lifelong practice. I discovered Mantak Chia when I was 20. And so I have been like practicing, learning, discovering, teaching some of that for all of these years. And every time I revisit something, I understand it deeper and it takes on a whole new meaning.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Great stuff. So an extra piece for people who are looking at these sorts of issues and wanting to generate that energy and generate that connection is that these are practices that, you know, they are lifelong practices, but they're things that they're quite easy for you to learn and to do. And that it's worth adding that as a piece. I think one of the things that people often forget, and it sounds weird when you're talking about sex, that people often forget that actually you actually have to pay attention to the body. You have to observe in order to figure out what works. People talk about it. They do a lot of stuff in their heads. They talk about releasing emotions, but they forget that actually, you know, the body is an integral part of this. And if you're not actually paying attention to what goes on in your body when you're touched, more than just orgasm, because everybody focuses on orgasm, which is great and it's fun and it's wonderful, but you know, your body does lots of other things besides orgasm. And do you find that with the people you work with that they have complete unawareness of what's going on often?
Oh, totally. I see that a lot. This is one of the biggest things we work on is bringing you back to your senses and bringing you back to your body. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite practices are like for women is the breast massage because it's really helping you being in touch with your breasts, with yourself, because most women don't touch their bodies. We always like put our health and our bodies into the hands of like doctors or other people that we put on a pedestal that know nothing about ourselves. We need to touch our bodies. We need to know, well, how does my labia, how do they look like when I'm engorged and aroused? What kind of discharge do I have in my vagina? Like I had like one time when I went to the gynecologist, he told me that I had an unusual discharge or something that was wrong with me. And I was like, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm ovulating. You know, like it's stretchy and it's egg white and there's nothing wrong with it. And then it changes through the cycle. It gets like wider and thicker. So because I've observed all of these things, I know and I can take responsibility for that. And I think it is essential. And then for the men, in terms of the best practices, is to really separate ejaculation and orgasm. And so not making it about an ejaculation. And when you're able to really connect to your body in such a way like this, you make love totally differently. Because again, it's not about that destination. It's about the journey and enjoying.
Yeah, taking the time. But I think it's also important for men to know their bodies as well. I recently wrote on this because I'm... you know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so lots of people talk about how important it is to examine your breasts. And it is. But for me, the most important thing is that you actually know what's normal for you. Exactly. And that if you don't know what's normal for you, then you can't really have any confidence in anybody you go to be able to help. Because with the best will in the world, like you say, I mean, your example is a great example, you know. ovulation looks different for different people. Our secretions change during ovulation. If you're seeing a doctor for the first time and they don't know you, they don't know what's normal for you. If they're a good doctor, they'll ask you what's normal for you rather than telling you something's wrong. But often they don't, and they think that there's something wrong, and they'll say there's something wrong. And if you're a woman who's not aware of your own body, you won't know. The same for a man, you won't know. So you will get treated with stuff you don't need, but also they'll miss the things that actually where problems arise. And most of the problems that we develop that go on to be serious, if we find them really early, they're not serious. And the only way you're going to do that is if you're actually aware of your body and your body process. Mm-hmm. I also deal with a lot of people who find it very difficult to stay present during sex. They present by saying things like, I mean, the guys tend to talk about finding it hard to be focused. Mm-hmm. Or that if they are focused, that they then ejaculate too quickly and that this is a problem. The women talk about being tense. And guys talk about not being able to come back from work. And women, you know, they're doing work in their heads. But ultimately what they're talking about is not actually sitting in their body during sex. And what I find fascinating is they're often not sitting in their body for most of their lives.
Well, that's the key. If you're not present in your body during life, don't expect that suddenly you're going to be able to have like to be totally like present into your body. It's a practice that you do every single minute that you are alive in this body.
Well, yeah. And I mean, to me, it's fascinating because people don't, I mean, a lot of people, listening to us, will not understand what the hell we're talking about.
Yes.
And now everybody talks about mindfulness is lovely, and it's a lovely word. But I used to use the term grounding. And the reason that I used grounding, because it's the same thing, is that for me, the most important thing was to get people to understand that you actually need to be grounded in the body. I want your feet to hit the floor and you to be able to feel your feet on the floor. Mm-hmm. And so that you can feel every part of you and that's the place that you're starting. And that's just in life. And that we pull away from the body. The quickest reason for pulling away from the body is because of pain. Mm-hmm. So I've got tennis elbow at the moment. So I spend a lot less time in this part of my body because mm-hmm. if I sit in it, it hurts. So I can pull my consciousness away from that. And there's value in that. If you can control it and you can decide, I'm not going to be in my body now. Oh, now I want to be back in my body. But the vast majority of people don't have that kind of control.
Totally. And that control that you're talking about is really essential, like especially for the men. Here's the thing. If you want to be able to last with somebody, you have to be able to feel your body because there's something where you're like, okay, let's say you start to be aroused, so you're at zero, then you start becoming aroused, like one, two, three, you're getting that erection, and then it's like you're at a five, and then you don't know how it happened, you went from a five to a 10, and you have no clue. And that's a lot of the work that I do with the men that I work with. It's what is between that five and 10? Between right. that I'm really, like, I'm turned on, excited, I have a boner, to like, hey, I can last and feel the variation, and then taking it deeper in terms of like, surfing what I call the waves of pleasures, because again, it's not about going to that destination as fast as you can and then off, it's finished and it's done. It's like, how can you take like if you're heterosexual, like the woman that you're making love with on the ride so that it lasts? Because if we look even at numbers, the average woman will take about 20 minutes to orgasm. The average man lasts about 5 to 7 minutes. There's obviously a shortage here, something that doesn't happen, like that doesn't work properly. So we got to find a way for both people. And again, I'm talking about average here, but find a way for both people and both energies to be able to like align and be in sync.
I find it so interesting because if you look at research on women and masturbation and men and masturbation, it's exactly the opposite. Women and masturbation, average time to orgasm is about a minute and a half.
Yeah, we know what we like, but you know what I found too, working with women, a few things. A lot of women have desensitized their clits from using a lot of vibrators, and we're kind of approaching sexuality from a very masculine, so goal-oriented way. in that it's rubbing off from the ability to recharge and nourish. When you go for an orgasm, whether you're male or female, for a minute and a half and you go to the finish, sure, you have a tension release, but you don't have, like, your body and your energy is not nourished. So back to the Taoist perspective, where you use the sexual energy to transmute, transform, and have more energy in the body and heal the body, things that are out of balance, you need more than a minute and a half of basking into sexual energy for that to happen. So learning, how can you actually delay that so that you can stay into these waves of pleasure? And especially when you look at the orgasm that you have after a minute and a half, they tend to be really short-lived. And often it will be just a superficial clit orgasm that's a firework as a woman. And then as a man, they'll just go like, okay, they'll ejaculate and they're done and they'll sleep. If you delay that and you go like close to your edge and bring the energy back down, the next time you go up, you can go just a little bit higher. And every time you do this, you're starting to build up and build up so that when and if you choose to go for an orgasm, it will feel very different and deeper. And we access different levels of, I want to say, consciousness when we stay in it longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it's a really interesting, but it's a really interesting task to get people from that place where they don't, Westerners in particular, don't talk about sex in a way that's healthy and helpful. Don't look at sex. I mean, sex is advertisement everywhere. There's sex everywhere we look. But actually getting people to talk about desire and getting people to look at what they like and getting people to communicate with each other about what they like, that doesn't happen. So actually getting them from that place to a place where they're willing to kind of take time in masturbation. I mean, God, you know, getting people to masturbate's hard enough.
And especially in the society we live in, it's a society where it's instant gratification. And I notice that a lot of people have massive ADD, like attention deficit disorders. They can't focus anymore. They want something right away because we always are bombarded with notifications on our cell phones, or like you want something, it's one click away and 30 seconds away. I mean, if you like with Amazon Prime and it's delivered like the same day or the next day, we're not used to waiting anymore. And I think that there's a lot of benefits in the society that we have, that it's awesome that we can travel around the world so much faster, that we have access to the knowledge and technology. But there's some things that we've lost along the way, like the ability to be still, to relax and enjoy being. And we actually have to reteach ourselves how to be human being. And in the work that I do, this is exactly what we do. Like, how can you be in your body and enjoy it?
I mean, I think that's really important. When I grew up, because I am in my 50s, when I grew up, you had to wait for things. Mm-hmm. It was built into life. Mm-hmm. You know, I always use the example of your favorite television program. You had to wait. If you wanted to see your favorite television program, it was on once a week. That's when it was on. It was on at a particular time. There was no recording. There was no, winding it back. You might get a rerun in the summer, but, that's a long way off. So you needed to plan so that you could be there to watch. Mm-hmm. And then there was anticipation all week long for the next one. No such thing as binge watching a box set, right? And it's a silly example, but for me, it really highlights the difference between the way I grew up, not because of how my parents taught me, but just the society, and the way my 15-year-old grew up. My 15-year-old, who if he wants, from the time he was born, if he wanted to watch something or get something, could find it online, order it, and have it within an hour. Mm-hmm. Versus if I wanted something like that, that there was a set time and place and that was it and you waited. And so I believe that my generation learned something about perseverance and something about patience, even those of us who are impatient, and I am not a patient person. But compared to the younger generation, I'm unbelievably patient. Mm-hmm. Because it was a built-in part, cycles and seasons. For example, getting vegetables and fruit. Mm-hmm. That you couldn't get a watermelon all year round. Watermelon was a summer fruit. You got it when it grew. Now, it doesn't matter where in the world I am, I can have anything I want now if I have the money to do it. Yes. And so, but it's a very different, you lose complete sense of the natural rhythms of the body and the natural rhythms of the world. And a lot of people will go, oh, that's really woo. And I'll say, no, actually, it's really essential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, your spirituality is your own business. You know, I'm a spiritual person, so for me that's part of it. But the more important bit is that actually this is essential because our body has cycles too.
It really does.
Living creatures, we have cycles. We no longer pay attention to those cycles. And when you look at reproduction, it's really clear where we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when the pill was first developed, of course, you took the pill and you came off for a week and you had a period.
Mm-hmm.
So you were just suppressing ovulation, not anything else. Or actually, you weren't even suppressing ovulation.
You were putting yourself in a constant state of pregnancy, pretty much.
Sort of. But not constantly, because you came off for a week and then you had a period when they first came out. Now you put yourself in a constant state of pregnancy.
True.
Now women decide not to have breaks because they don't want to have a period when they're doing whatever. There's none of the natural rhythm in a lot of the methods that we use to control birth. And it has an impact, and it has an impact that we have babies later.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that. So all of our cycles have become changed and shifted as a result of this kind of now culture.
Yes. The other thing that I see in that culture is that we feel so much more connected. And I put this with little air signs connected here, because in reality, I believe that we are less human connected than ever before. We think we have so many friends because we are on social media and we have X numbers and we're so liked because you have so many comments and posts on your wall. And in reality, the last time you hugged a human being might have been a week ago if you don't have a partner, if you don't live with somebody else. And that is frightening. And with the development too of artificial intelligence, and you know, there's even those things now where they teach men or women who want to learn how to stroke a pussy with like an app, so you get to stroke a pussy on your phone. And you know, I bought that because I was like really excited to see, hey, how can I use that in my work with my clients? Because in the work that I do, it's always one way, so it's always from me to the clients. They never get to work on me, so I'm always like super excited about, hey, unless they bring a partner, then I coach them. I was like, what else could I do so that they get to see how to like stroke a pussy in the right way? But the thing is, it's not the same. You know, I was like playing with that app and I'm like, I'm just feeling really frustrated. Like, it just doesn't give you the same thing.
No, it doesn't. And you need that actual contact.
You do.
But you need it for so many reasons. I mean, the reality is even if you go back to early attachment research, mm-hmm. You know, the study that everybody always quotes in psychology is the Bowlby studies, where they took monkeys away from their mothers and you know, monkeys had a choice of a wire monkey and lots of food, or a monkey with a cloth on it and no food. And they actually chose, when they were given the choice between food and cloth monkey, not no food, but the choice between food and cloth monkey, baby monkeys chose cloth monkey because they needed that contact, that softness in that contact. And that really people really have developed pretty intense psychological issues over time when they're not getting actual physical contact from other human beings. And so at the same time as where society is more spread out and we have more technology and we connect, as you put with the air quotes, in ways that actually don't involve the physical body and seeing somebody, we also have situations in which touch is seen a lot of the time is perverted. So people worry about hugging. People worry, like teachers in school won't hug a child anymore because they'll get accused of molestation or behaving inappropriately. Whereas, you know, when I was little, if you fell down and hurt your knee when you were in primary school, the teacher picked you up, gave you a hug, dusted you off, and sent you back in. Stuff like that happens less and less. People touch less and less because of their fears. And it leads to just more and more depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And poor health. And so any way that we can encourage people to actually be in their bodies, recognize their body's needs, and eat and get physical contact, not just sex, but physical contact, go and see your friend, right? Make sure that you're going to hear a human voice. You're going to feel a human touch, because online is not the same.
It is not. And you know, the part that I love about sexological body work is because you can go get a massage and have that touch, but there's the syndrome of the giant donut when you get a massage, where there's this black hole that's not being touched on your body when you get a massage. So it perpetuates the shame and the embarrassment about the body. And in sexological body work, we embrace it and we're like, yes, you have a body, let's celebrate it. And all of it is beautiful and all of it deserves love and attention, whether it's an anus, butt cheek, a penis, vagina, breasts, it doesn't matter. They're meant to be touched, loved, and they all have a potential for pleasure.
And that people understand that this is a therapeutic work. So this isn't starting a relationship with somebody. This isn't a sex worker who's going to do what you ask them to do because you ask them to do it. I mean, because I think people don't understand that. Like, and I'm pro-sex work, so people are aware. I'm pro-sex work. I have no problem with sex workers. But if you go see a sexological body work and you want them and you say, well, really what I'd rather you do is lick my pussy or suck on my dick, they're going to say, I'm sorry, that's not what I do.
Exactly.
That's not what this is about.
Exactly. That's why, I mean, a lot of people will like it. So I, you know, coming from Switzerland, prostitution and sex work is legal. So I'm totally in favor of it. If it's like in a safe place where it's regulated, safe for the workers, safe for the clients, I'm all for it. And then again, the work I do is different in terms that it gives that chance for people to explore being in their bodies and having boundaries, you know, and simply just... It's taking it out of just a fantasy. And like, because a lot, and it's more something, well, actually women too now are getting a lot caught up in their fantasy, but a lot of the men, they're like, I can only be aroused or have an erection if, I don't know, I see breasts and you touch me a certain way. And I'm like, I never get undressed. That's not part of what we do. And it's taking away that whole like projection that in order to feel good about myself, somebody else has to do something for me.
Right.
And it's about learning, like it's really facilitating for the person who's there on the mattress or table. I do Thai massage too. So I work on the mattress on the floor because I really like, it's very grounding as an experience. Yep. So whoever is on that mattress has a chance to really like take responsibility for their turn-ons, for their arousals. And I like to link it, it's kind of like driver's ed. I am there next to you telling you about turning right, turning left. Sometimes I grab the wheel and I'll show you how it goes. And then you still are the one driving the car at all time. And that is a phenomenal experience too, that is really empowering.
Yeah, and that's something that there is no other place that somebody would necessarily get that. And we don't get it because that's not how we learn sex and that's not how we learn our bodies. It's there isn't a place to do that.
Exactly. Right. And the thing about the sex workers at times is that I have friends who are sex workers and they will do things for their clients that they would never want to have done on themselves. So it doesn't always teaching you real sex for real life. And so just because you're paying and you're paying good money, they'll just agree to do anything. But do you really think that other people on earth that you will meet will want to do what you want to do with the sex worker? Might be not. So it's not teaching you how to have a real relationship. And that's the one place that I don't like, is I think even as sex worker, they should have the right to be like, no, or like, oh, this is how I want to be touched. This is what feels good to me. Because sometimes they'll just be like, okay, I'll let you just kind of like have your way with me. And I know in 3 minutes you'll ejaculate and we'll be done. And that's sad because in the sessions that I do, I don't allow anybody to come in 3 minutes. I teach them how to last for at least 20 minutes. Like they become better lovers. The women like that, they love sending me their man. They love that because they're like, thank you. Finally, somebody who can teach my man what he needs to do. And then he comes back to me and do it to me.
That's wonderful. So if people want to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
Okay, so my website, CelineRemy.com, and it's spelled C-E-L-I-N-E, and Remy is R-E-M-Y CelineRemy.com. So CelineRemy.com is like you can see everything, because one of the beauty of the work I do is that I can also work remotely. One of my favorite thing to do is masturbation coaching. So we meet on Zoom and we get to do a lot of practices, and I can guide you via like just being online. So that's also a possibility. So on that site, you'll have everything. But I also have online courses that myself and my beloved, we've teamed up together, and we have courses for men specifically. And it's called Power and Mastery. So just P-O-W-E-R. A-N-D and then M-A-S-T-E-R-Y.com, powerandmastery.com. And it's a phenomenal three parts online course for men. And, you know, where you get to learn all the skills you want for sexual mastery. And we've broken it down in three parts, because one part is like if you have premature ejaculation and you want to learn to have control. One is if you have erection difficulty and dysfunctions and just kind of like learning how to have, you know, harder, stronger erections naturally. And then the third part is all about that sexual mastery. All these elements that we talked about earlier, about the presence, about really how to connect and go to deeper levels of intimacy with a woman, how to touch a woman properly, how to give a pussy massage and all of that. And so what's awesome about this course is that people can take one part or the entire course. So these are the two ways that you can find me.
And which is great. These are in the podcast notes now. So if you go to the podcast notes, you will find them. They're in the podcast notes. They go up through Libsyn. So they'll be in the iTunes podcast notes. And they're also in the podcast notes on my website, under where you can actually listen to the podcast as well. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been absolutely great.
My pleasure.
Thanks, listeners, for joining me for the A to Z of Sex this week. Please write to me with your suggestions for the show and any questions you want answered at drloribeth@azofsex.com. That's DRLORIBETH. @AtoZofsex.com. Do follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and check out my YouTube channel. For a free 30-minute strategy session with me, go to https://AtoZofsex.com and do click on the button that says schedule now. If you do enjoy the show, please leave me a review on iTunes and or Stitcher, and I'll see you next week when the letter will be T. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to the A to Z of Sex. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review here on iTunes and make sure you head over to www.atozofsex.com. That's AtoZofsex. To subscribe to my free newsletter to help you keep your sex life sizzling. Stay tuned for upcoming weekly episodes as we work our way through the sexual alphabet to discover the wide world of sex, sexuality, desire, and intimacy. Knowledge gives you the power to create relationships that bring you satisfaction and joy. Hope to see you next week.